Today is the 18th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you today. I am grateful, very much trying to express that, very much trying to practice that. Grateful as we go through this 20th year together. And so for the 20th time, we come to the 18th day of July. And for the 20th time, we'll go through this very specific territory as we are navigating First Chronicles and Paul's letter to the Romans, which is an epic treatise that is such so much of the foundation of the Christian faith. So let's jump in. Let's take our step together as a community around the global campfire, moving forward. First Chronicles chapter 26, verse 12 through 27, verse 34 today. These divisions of the gatekeepers, corresponding to their leaders, had duties just as their kindred did, ministering in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots by ancestral houses, small and great alike, for their gates. The lot for the east fell to Shelemiah. They cast lots also for his son Zechariah, a prudent counselor, and his lot came out for the north. Obed-Edom's came out for the south, and to his sons was allotted the storehouse. For Shupim and Hozah it came out for the west, at the gate of Shelekath, on the ascending road. Guard corresponded to guard. On the east there were six Levites each day, on the north four each day, on the south four each day, as well as two and two at the storehouse. And for the colonnade on the west, there were four at the road and two at the colonnade. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the Korahites and the sons of Merari. And of the Levites, Ahijah had charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated gifts. The sons of Ladan, the sons of the Gershonites belonging to Ladan, the heads of families belonging to Ladan, the Gershonites, Jahieli. The sons of Jahieli, Zetam and his brother Joel, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites, the Izrahites, the Hebronites, and the Uzzielites, Shebuel, son of Gershom, son of Moses, was chief officer in charge of the treasuries. His brothers, from Eleazar, were his son Rehabiah, his son Jeshiah, his son Joram, his son Zikri, and his son Shelemot. This Shelemot and his brothers were in charge of all the treasuries of the dedicated gifts that King David and the heads of families and the officers of thousands and the hundreds and the commanders of the army had dedicated. From spoil won in battles, they dedicated gifts for the maintenance of the house of the Lord. Also, all that Samuel the seer, and Saul son of Kish, and Abner son of Ner, and Joab son of Zeruiah had dedicated. All dedicated gifts were in the care of Shelomith and his brothers. Of the Israelites, Kenaniah and his sons were appointed to outside duties for Israel as officers and judges. Of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brothers, 1,700 men of ability, had the oversight of Israel west of the Jordan for all the work of the Lord and for the service of the king. Of the Hebronites, Jerijah was chief of the Hebronites. In the 40th year of David's reign, search was made of whatever genealogy or family, and men of great ability among them were found at Jazer in Gilead. King David appointed him and his brothers, 2,700 men of ability, heads of families, to have the oversight of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites, for everything pertaining to God and for the affairs of the king. This is the list of the people of Israel, the heads of families, the commanders of thousands and the hundreds, and their officers who served the king in all matters concerning the divisions that came and went, month after month, throughout the year, each division numbering 24,000. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was in charge of the first division in the first month. In his division were 24,000. He was a descendant of Perez and was chief of all the commanders of the army for the first month. Dodai the Aoite was in charge of the division of the second month. Miklot was the chief officer of his division. In his division were 24,000. The third commander for the third month was Benaiah, son of the chief priest Jehoiada. In his division were 24,000. This is the Benaiah who was a mighty man of the 30 and in command of the 30. His son Amizabad was in charge of his division. Asael, brother of Joab, was fourth for the fourth month, and his son Zebadiah after him in his division were 24,000. The fifth commander for the fifth month was Shemuth, the Israelite. In his division were 24,000. Sixth for the sixth month was Ira, son of Ikesh, the Tekoite. In his division were 24,000. Seventh for the seventh month was Elez, the Pelonite, of the Ephraimites. In his division were 24,000. Eighth for the eighth month was Sibekai, the Hushatite, of the Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. Ninth for the ninth month was Abiezer of Anathoth, a Benjaminite. In his division were 24,000. Tenth for the tenth month was Maharai of Netophah, of the Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. 11th for the 11th month was Benaiah of Piriathon, of the Ephraimites. In his division were 24,000. 12th for the 12th month was Heldai the Netophatite of Othniel. In his division were 24,000. Over the tribes of Israel, for the Reubenites, Eleazar, son of Zikri, was chief officer. For the Simeonites, Shephatiah, son of Maacah. For Levi, Hashabiah, son of Kemuel. For Aaron, Zadok. For Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers. For Issachar, Omri, son of Michael. For Zebulun, Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah. For Naphtali, Jeremoth, son of Azrael. For the Ephraimites, Hoshea, son of Azaziah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, son of Pedaiah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh and Gilead, Edo, son of Zechariah. For Benjamin, Jaaziel, son of Abner. For Dan, Azarel, son of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. David did not count those below 20 years of age, for the Lord had promised to make Israel as numerous as the stars of heaven. Joab, son of Zeruiah, began to count them but did not finish. Yet wrath came upon Israel for this, and the number was not entered into the account of the annals of King David. Over the king's treasuries was Asmaveth, son of Adiel. Over the treasuries in the country, in the cities, in the villages, and in the towns was Jonathan, son of Uzziah. Over those who did the work of the field, tilling the soil, was Ezri, son of Kelub. Over the vineyards was Shimei the Ramathite. Over the produce of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi the Shifmite. Over the olive and sycamore trees in the Shephelah was Baal Hanan the Gederite. Over the stores of oil was Joash. Over the herds that pastured in Sharon was Shitrai the Sharonite. Over the herds in the valleys was Shaphat, son of Adlai. Over the camels was Obil, the Ishmaelite. Over the donkeys was Jediah, the Maronathite. Over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagarite. All these were stewards of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, being a man of understanding and a scribe. Jehiel, son of Hakmoni, attended the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's friend. After Ahithophel came Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and Abiathar. Joab was commander of the king's army. Romans 4, 13 through 5, 5. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherence of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Psalm 14. Denunciation of godlessness to the leader of David. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror. For God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. Okay, so as we continue to step forward in the book of Romans, we see like all of the arguments kind of being laid out in a logical fashion, in a very Hebrew-centric fashion, but in a logical fashion. Because when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute, like to truly harass people who followed Jesus, and then he met Jesus, that set off a chain of events that absolutely revolutionized Paul's life and has revolutionized the entire world since. But revolutions, especially if it's like an awareness in our faith that shifts our understanding and we have to believe in a bit of a different direction than maybe we had been told, that is typically an unsettling experience, at least in my personal experience. That is an unsettling experience because it's like, what if I get deceived? What if, you know, like, what if I go in the wrong direction than what I've been told? And so that bridge of doubt there and that stepping forward in belief and faith is actually what makes our faith grow. It's unsettling. So it's not surprising for Paul to have been completely unsettled, because what happened to him was incredibly unsettling. It was a complete reverse of course, a complete reversal in his understanding of God, a complete reversal of the direction that he was heading in. So that is like a direct shift in faith. A very difficult move to make. So Paul is a trained Pharisee. So he understands the scriptures and he understands the traditional interpretation of the scriptures. So he has to go all the way back to the beginning of his own faith and think about it. Like, move from the beginning and move forward through everything. And he has to go back to Abraham, because Abraham is the first person that is associated with the Hebrew story. And so this is one of the reasons Paul references Abraham so often in his teachings because this is the first person. In Judaism, Paul would have understood it. So as we're reading through Romans today, Paul is discussing Abraham's life because he's laying out an argument between a life of faith and a life of trying to adhere or obey a law. So Paul's like, look, if God's promise only came for people who obey the law, then faith isn't necessary. The promise is pointless because it's all spelled out. And the law, since we cannot live up to it, only ever brings wrath, punishment on anybody who tries to obey it, because nobody can do this perfectly. Nobody's perfect, which is part of the same argument that we talked about a couple days ago. So like the only way then, in Paul's view, to avoid breaking the law is for there not to be a law to break. Because if there's not a law to break, then you can't break it. So for Paul, and through Paul, our own understanding, it is not adherence to a law or a set of rules and regulations, a modification of our behavior from the outside, but not changing our hearts from the inside. It's not that that will get us to God. Faith is what will get us in relationship and interaction with God. And through faith, we will be made righteous before God. Right standing, nothing between us. Like, we're good. Our relationship, like, we're good with each other. I mean, think about that in our own marriages. Like, when we have something that's going on, right, we have to come back together and find a way to become in right standing with each other. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Bitterness, resentment. And man, if that is left, it will absolutely undermine everything. So righteousness comes through faith and a transformation of our hearts that make us stand before God and we're good with each other, like he's good with us. So it's not about obeying specific rules. It's about a transformation of heart. And Paul is laying out this argument by saying, look, if you go back to the beginning of the story and think clearly what is clearly written in scriptures, what God did in the world through Abraham, we would see that it was faith that began all of the events that created the Hebrew people. It was faith and not the law that actually contained their true identity. He explains that Abraham's faith is what gave Abraham the ability to hope against hope. Right? Like, that is against all odds, hoping anyway in the promise of God that he could become the father of many nations. That is not a small hope. We've read this story in Genesis. Abraham's like 100 years old. Sarah's like 90 years old. For them to become the parents of many nations is hoping against hope, because it's not humanly possible. But Abraham believed. He had faith anyway. And here we are today talking about this because it came to pass. So if Abraham was to father many nations, then the blessings and inclusion in that faith would reach to many nations beyond the Hebrew people alone, who had now become kind of superior in their chosenness when they were chosen to reveal God to many nations. So Paul's like, look, Abraham is the father of everybody who believes. Everybody's invited into this. This is like we're listening to this and it's very basic fundamental Christianity, but as Paul is laying this out, this is revolutionary. This is very disruptive. This is very much deconstruction. This is totally a different way of looking at things. And so Paul then encourages, if this is true, then since we've been made right with God by faith, then we have peace with God. We do not have to worry. We have peace with God because of what God has done for us through Jesus. Jesus brought us into a place of privilege. But that should bring humility because it's undeserved. And we stand here now in this place, undeserving. And we confidently look forward to sharing all of the glory of God that He reveals. So, wow. That brings up so much hope. If we can grasp it, it gives us a way to look at and even interpret our lives, the wilderness, the trials, the obstacles, the opposition, the unsettledness that happens to all of us. Nothing is without purpose. It builds us up in faith, which is what we need. It gives us endurance. As Paul says, endurance, which leads to character, which leads to hope in the fact that we can stand right with God. The same kind of hope that Abraham used when his faith allowed him to hope against hope. And Paul says this hope will not lead us to disappointment. And so, first of all, Father, thank you. Thank you for this example that it is faith that fuels our hope. And so often we can hope for something very outwardly to happen when the hope is from within, that all of this is going somewhere, and where it is going is good. If we will walk the path and have our orientation to trust and hope and faith in you. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into that. Like, we are so outwardly focused. The outward circumstances so deeply affect our inner lives and our mental health, when it is supposed to be working the other way around, which gives us an orientation to every single circumstance. Help us make that shift. Help us learn to hope against hope. Help us to have faith in the connection that cannot be broken that we have with you. We ask in Jesus' name. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and the Daily Audio Bible app is home base. So be connected and stay connected. Check out the different sections, the community sections, where to get connected on social media. It is also the home of the prayer wall, which is nothing like social media at all. It's just here inside this community. The bottom does fall out of life sometimes. There are valleys. There are seasons of wilderness. They are in the Bible, and we experience them as well. Life also has its mountaintop experiences where the vista, it seems like it will go on forever, because it will, and things are going well. And both of those times are times to share. Both of those times are times of needing God, needing each other, but also rejoicing in God and rejoicing together. Not laughing with each other, mourning with each other. So the prayer wall is just here for us around the global campfire. Be familiar with that. It's the 20th year anniversary, so we're doing all kinds of little things along the way to celebrate. Music is part of that story, so reminding you again of some of the music and some of the stories that predate the Daily Audio Bible. Some of the life that Jill and I have lived, we've really had to reflect, do a lot of work actually, reflecting. How did 20 years go by? How have we been doing this every day for 20 years? How did that happen? It just goes by so quickly, but that's 20 years of our lives, and we don't get too many of those spans of time. And so to reflect, how did we do this? And where were we when we started this? And how have the changes affected us? And we've shared some of that story. We've shared some of that music. And so Jill has a song called I Found Grace that is available anywhere. Ezekiel, our son, sang his very first song. It's called When the Bow Breaks. That's available anywhere. And I, for the first time since the Daily Audio Bible began, for sure, released a song of my own. First time since this began, I sang a song, and that's called Love Will Not Care. And all of these can be found wherever it is that you stream music. And so we just hope that you'd put them in your playlist and celebrate together with us. Also be encouraged, because these songs are really deeply meaningful to us. And still meaningful to us. They were part of forming all of the soil that would one day become the Daily Audio Bible. And so I hope that you'll give a listen. Give a listen or two or five or 10 or 20. They will be part of your story as we go through this year. And so thanks for doing that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, man, thank you. Thank you. There is no way for us to be, to even have a global campfire if we're not in this together. And so thank you deeply, humbly, profoundly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. Truly, I love you. Truly, I'm grateful for this community beyond words. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm nicknamed a blessed woman on Daily Audio Bible. I'm calling in to pray for Darcy. God, I pray for Darcy in Oregon. I pray for her not to be lonely anymore. I pray for her to heal from what she's been through. I pray for her to get closer to you than ever. I pray for her to learn to study the Bible. I pray for her to learn through being in church more about you. I pray for her to get into your presence and know you better, and that this time becomes a time for her to draw closer to you. I pray that beautiful prayer she wrote over her for her strength right now. And I pray for her to bounce back, Lord.
Hey, dear BFAM. I've been calling in this year every week praying for those of us who own and run businesses. But in the last 3 weeks, I have needed so much prayer myself that I have neglected my consistency in praying, so I'm calling to ask you to pray. Join me in prayer for everybody who owns or runs a business. God, I pray that you will give them moments of rest, that you will give them moments of joy, and that they will find, we will find, grace in the work that we are doing, in those that work for us, in those that we serve. And that at the end of it, God, that we will shine the light to your greatness and your holy name, and that your name will be praised in the work that we do. I pray for all of us who run businesses or charities, that we will continue to do your great work. Family, for me, please pray for me. Tomorrow is a very, very important day. I have a brand coming to my store to visit because they want to order something. I've got the deputy mayor visiting, and I feel like I'm not ready, but at the same time, everything feels really tough in the two organizations that I run. I just, today for the first time, I felt like I hated myself for all of this. And then I felt God's hand telling me it's going to be okay. So please pray and thank God for me for tomorrow's meetings. They're important, that something good may come out of it, and that his name will be glorified no matter how hard things may seem right now. I thank you all, family, for praying for all of us who own businesses. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Rebecca from Michigan. It's July 15th, 2025, and I want to pray for you guys today. Father God, I want you to know that you deserve our praise. And I thank you for these people on DAB that are listening to Brian and the Word of God. I have proven that you listen to all the words that we say out of our mouth. Because when my friend, the missionary friend, asked me what God was saying to me during COVID, I told her he hears every word I say, whether it's bad or good. So, Father God, I pray that these people on here that need healing from the crown of their head to the toenails on their feet, that if it's physical, spiritual, financially, mentally, emotionally, whatever they need, God, I pray by the stripes of Jesus they be healed, and that that you will provide all their needs like you do birds and the flowers, but we're more important than either one of them. So I pray you provide all their needs. If they need help with something, I ask you to send help towards them. I pray you provide everything they need. And I pray that you help them grow in the Word of God and learn your words, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you will touch their life everywhere they go, in the city, in the country, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, Graziella Flower calling. It's July 15th, and Eddie C. and the wise guy from Arizona phoned in for prayer. And I wanted not only to pray for them, but everyone who has been incarcerated and is now free or coming out very soon. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just bless these men and women who are trying to go straight, to make a new life for themselves. There's always consequences for our sin. But Lord God, you can direct our paths, their paths, in the way you want them to go. So we pray you would open the doors that you want them to go through, that you would provide the strength in their faith to carry them through the difficult times, and to supply people in their path who are willing to walk the road with them. We pray, Lord God, that you would open doors for housing, for jobs, for education, Lord God, for friends, good, solid Christian friends, and that you would provide for their every need. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.